Well, hello again. This is Gerald Chavez with BPNRadio.com, and today's subject we're going to get into is obedience. The obedience that's commanded by God, the obedience that's expected by God, rewards of obedience, and just the things that happen that are connected with that. As we run our businesses, for those of us that are business owners, obedience to God's word doesn't stop. We don't take a time out from following the commandments of God. Come to our home life, same thing. Personal life, social circles, yes, definitely. We are called to follow. We are called to obey. We submitted. Those of us that are believers surrendered and prayed something that went like, make Jesus Lord over our lives. We're supposed to pick up our cross and follow him. And I tell you, that's pretty difficult. I don't know anyone that can do that very easily. This struggle that we struggle till the very end. But knowing that, we can be equipped with God's word and God's insight, the insight provided by God through his word, the help of the comforter and helper, the Holy Spirit, and learn ways to combat sin, to work against it daily in all things. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, coming to you in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this time and that you would open up the hearts and minds of everyone, especially mine, during this discussion, and hope that your word renders change in our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's just go right into definitions of obedience. And one definition of obedience, or to obey rather, the definition of obey comes from a Greek word which means to listen attentively, by implication, to heed or conform to a command or authority. This word conveys the idea of actively following a command. There is no choice in the matter. It is to be done whether one agrees with it or not. Obedience is involuntary. So that's when we hear the word obey my command later in the verses I'm going to go over that really work on me daily and every moment of the day. At least that's my prayer. That's my hope, is that I am applying God's word 24/7. Very hard to do, but that's my goal. It means there is no choice in the matter. This is from that Greek translation of the word obey. Obedience is involuntary. You have literally laid down your choice and said, I am going to obey the commands of God, like it or not. And I would hope, for myself especially, that I would want to, that I would feel called to, based on what God's already done for me in saving me. That salvation piece alone, if that's not enough, to know that my name is written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain, and to know that I'm called to follow his commands, and Jesus was pretty particular, we'll go over some of those verses in a bit, on exactly what that meant, what that looked like. And then he talked about the benefits that come with that. So there's all these benefits. There's this salvation piece, and then there's the blessings that come with it, and there's this endurance of being able to make it through this life that's pretty challenging. And that ought to be part of our motivation to obey, is that love that God expressed to us first. And by seeing that love on Calvary and understanding that we were saved from the wrath of God, I would pray that that would be motivation enough for all of us. But we do have challenges, and it is something that has to be addressed daily. Let's jump right into it. We're going to read out of the ESV, Proverbs 13:13, and all this relates to the rewards of obedience. Whoever despises the word, and that would be the word of God, brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. We go on to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Go on to Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And of course, that's our Lord Jesus speaking. I read that again. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So those words resonate with me, and I hope they do with all of us and with you, because it's quite apparent that God's serious about sin. And why wouldn't he be? Sin's so serious to him that it required the death of his only begotten Son, a perfect sacrifice. And when I think of the sin of the entire world, I can't wrap my brain around what that would look like if I was going to put something that symbolized that on a scale in. But then it required, all that sin required a perfect sacrifice, and on the other end of the scale is Jesus. And it totally wiped away everything that was part of our sin. So from a father standpoint, I don't have perfect children, but I love my children. And I know that I would never sacrifice one of my children for any one of I just love them too much to do that. And when I think of God's sacrifice for us, for you and for me, and the love he felt for his son, it's no wonder that God is serious about sin and serious about how we're going to address it, how we work on it daily, and what we're supposed to do with it. So we look at more verses in the Bible regarding how God commanded us to live in obedience, and we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And this is from the first commandment that came in the Ten Commandments, that it may go with you and that you may live long in the land. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? When we review the evidence that obedience is expected by God, in Galatians 5, verses 13 through 14, it says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Each verse resonates with us, with you and with me, because we feel the Holy Spirit acting on us through God's word. That feeling of conviction is real. And it's necessary.
I just want to take time to tell you a story about a man called Shaolin Jung. John joined a dead church. They didn't believe in shouting. They didn't believe in dancing and speaking in tongues. But when they opened the doors of the church, John joined that church. And when John joined that church, he came in dancing. because John was dancing all around the church. The deacons ran, sat him down, he jumped back up. They tried to hold his legs, his hands were gone. When they turned the hands loose, the feet were going. It's just like fire. It's just like fire. Shut up in the bone. Well, they did everything they could to stop old John from shouting. And when they couldn't finally stop him, they made up in their mind, we got to go out to John's house, y'all. But something is wrong with him. Doesn't he know? We don't act like that in our church. Doesn't John know? We've got dignitaries in our church. We're going. We're going to John's house. Well, when they got out there, they found this old 86-year-old man. Him and an old beat-up mule plowing. Plowing in the field. They drove up all of the deacons. They got out of their fine cars. They walked over to John. John looked around and said, hold me. Walked over to him and said, brethren, I know why you've come out here. You've come out here to tell me that I praise the Lord too much. You've come out here to tell me that I dance too much. One of the deacons told him, if you don't stop shouting, if you don't stop dancing, they're gonna put you out of our church. Somebody say yeah. He said, God gave me all that land, but you don't want me to dance in your church. Said, look at my sons and daughters. Said, God gave me all of my children. Not one time have I been to the courthouse. Not one time have I been to the cemetery. But you don't want me to dance in your church. Then he said, look at me. I'm 86 years old. I'm still able to. In your church. Listen, brother deacons, if I can't shout in your church, hold my mule. I'm gonna shout right here. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Hold my mule. Hold my mule. Hold my mule. That's the way I feel right now. I feel like old Shouting John. I know we got some dignified folk in here, but I come to tell you, I feel like praising him. Oh, I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning.
Praise him in the morning.
Praise him all day. I feel. Praise the Lord while I got a chance. How about it? Come on, church. Oh, I'm gonna praise the Lord. hearts to the Lord.
All right now.
Come on and praise the Lord while you have a chance. Anybody? Oh, oh, oh.
Come on, praise the Lord.
Says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Amen.
Spirit flows, set our hearts on. but things are not.